Hi, I'm Claire Morrow. I began doing elder care work when my own parents started to falter and needed help, but I live very far away. In the beginning, I was trying to reach out to them and manage their situation. Even though I did have a sister who lived much closer, I was concerned, I wanted to help, and I was kind of making myself crazy because I didn't live nearby and it was very hard to do anything. But I'm an action-oriented person. If I see a problem, I like to think of a way to address it and go ahead and do that. And so I realized after I'd visited my parents and my dad was in a rehab for a stroke at the time, that there were problems that all elderly people or people who were becoming older were having with coping with the next phase of their lives. And because I had a counseling background and a programming outreach background, I began to work with my local elder services because I thought I can't always be there to help my parents, but I can help other people who are dealing with these problems. And that gave me a sense of purpose. And that's how I got into the industry. In response to the pandemic of families who made the choice to bring their elder home from assisted living to their residence. And by and large, that worked well. The elders that I'm familiar with did not have severe physical health issues. However, what the family observed was that because they left a community that was filled with supportive friendly interactions, and where the individual had, one individual in particular I'm thinking of, had a very defined role and was actually involved in weekly offering of activities themselves without that discipline of a routine and a purpose around their own community, they were at a bit of a loss within the family unit to be on their own as much as they needed to be while the family continued to work from home even. There was a gap in the amount of social interaction that the individual experienced leaving the facility that was had a strong congregate community that they participated in to a much smaller family unit, where they didn't get continuous community stimulation. Obviously, if people are now asked to be working from home and they're lucky enough to have that opportunity, they have to devote certain parts of their day to focusing on that and not being around to interact. And that they noticed that their older loved ones' ability to communicate and to stay focused just on their immediate surroundings and function well was somewhat compromised because of that. They often would wander in their thoughts or retreat, and their personality seemed diminished by that lack of social constant social stimulation that the community of assisted living provided for them. One of the problems in the pandemic is that in these communities themselves, they've had to enforce a certain amount of social isolation. So it's not clear if a person like who I'm describing would not have experienced similar change in outlook and functioning within the assisted living if they were deprived of the kind of contact that they had been accustomed to. In fact, this is true for a lot of the situations where healthcare workers who were asymptomatic brought the virus into the community, and as a result, community members were confined to their personal living spaces. Right. Well, the expectations you might have for how the situation is going to work going in would be immediately challenged, I think, by the expectations that each person in the equation would bring to the situation. And you would have to do a lot of negotiating in terms of boundaries and routines, and maybe for the first time really see more up close where there are gaps, as this family that I was describing earlier began to notice. Maybe my loved one is not functioning as well as I thought. Now that I see that on a regular basis, they're a little bit confused, you know, or more confused than I thought, or just not being able to offer to the family group what I thought they would, bringing them in. For example, maybe they're not the family is not as confident giving duties, family duties like babysitting or certain chores to inviting them to take part in those family maintenance tasks that they thought would work out, because the older individual is just not quite up to the task. I mean, I can remember from my own childhood when my aunt took in my grandmother and going to visit, as we often did, visiting one another on a Sunday afternoon, having my cousins take me aside and say, Grandma, she's always trying to do stuff and it's not, you know, it's not as good. Like, oh, my cousin said she washed the pan and there was still egg on it when she put it in the dish drain. And she was so unhappy about that I mentioned it afterwards to my mother. And my mother just looked at me and said, but Grandma's just trying to help. And I hadn't even considered that. You know, I mean, I just was being a kid listening to my cousin who was older, and I thought, oh, she knows what she's talking about. But it didn't turn out to be the case. At least my mother showed me a different perspective, and she showed me how to have compassion in that really small example. Maybe there's another side to this story. Maybe you should think about how hard it is for Grandma to give up her own home, and she wants to still be of help. And this is a perfect example of how an older person would know that they're stepping into an already established routine and that they're not going to be the one, or needs to realize that they're not going to be the one to decide how this family will operate now that they're there. You have to figure out a way to both work together. The first thing to realize is that a lot of times it can be a choice that a family member needs to step in and make decisions for an older person. A lot of times it's a plan that the older person may have established in advance. At the very least, if they're able to, they should be mutually agreeable, unless they are not able to make decisions for themselves, in which case that's a matter that has to be handled with legal protections. So it's not a simple decision in a lot of ways. Often the root can be that some sort of illness or injury will require extended care outside a hospital, and that would lead the person, the older individual, first to a rehabilitation facility. And based on their recovery process, rehabilitation process, in terms of regaining the functioning to take care of themselves, to perform their basic tasks of daily living, and to be able to support the extended tasks that a person would need to live independently. If they are unable to regain those, then some sort of decision has to be made about how their daily life will be supplemented. And a lot of people do feel like a facility, a community that can assist them, they see that as an option for staying independent by opting into these communities, which is not necessarily a bad choice if it's possible. A nursing home choice is usually based on a higher level of healthcare need. And so the choices then become more limited and more dependent on not just your desire for independence, but also what your actual physical needs require in terms of healthcare. If you have a loving connection to your older family member, and if you are willing to do healthcare tasks to support your loved one in their home, then that's a decision that is very often overwhelming to a lot of people, and why they might choose the nursing home option. If you decide to bring that person into your own home, or go and live with them in their home to provide that care for however long they need it, that is, a lot of people choose that thinking that it's because they have no choice. But if they didn't have a connection that was strong enough to support it, they wouldn't be able to do it successfully. I had to do my caregiving from 3,000 miles away, but I made sure that I kept in touch with them on a very regular schedule. I spoke to them every week on the phone. I mailed them a letter every single week. I sent them packages every month of some kind, whether it was artwork from their grandchild or treats that I found that I thought were special that they would like, or, you know, Christmas presents. It ran the gamut. And since they lived at a distance from me for so long, I was able to take advantage of technology as it evolved, although it was very difficult to get them to adopt it. So it wasn't the fault. I wish they had been able to appreciate video calls more, because that would have made a tremendous difference in terms of us all feeling more connected. Now that that's available, it's becoming more normalized. I mean, when you have elders who never experienced video calls suddenly confronted with them, they would have confusion, because they are only used to a handset. I can recall calling my mother when she was in the nursing home level facility in her residential community, and the first time they gave her a cell phone instead of a handset, I could hear her. She wasn't speaking into the phone. She was holding it and she was trying to talk to me. And she said, they gave me this thing and I don't know what it is. Or, you know, let me try to understand it. And they eventually, and the aide explained to her how to hold it so she could hear and speak. And then we were able to have a phone conversation. But her life was based on the physical routine of the nursing home by that point. And in the particular level of unit she was in, she no longer had a phone in her room, which was something that when you're in, you know, when you have your own apartment within a community, you have your own telephone. She might have grasped the transition a little differently if she'd had that experience. But for her, a telephone still meant a handset. And so she was continuously confused. Even though she now understood, every time I called after that, and I then understood what she was trying to deal with. I understood. I had a more sympathy for the confusion that was part of every call, because I understood now that one element of it was she was facing technology that she had no reference point for. And I'm sure that this happened over and over again to her as different people came in and out of the facility with different kinds of communication devices. Some people wore headsets, something that I observed when I went to visit her in the nursing home. And, you know, they would be in her room helping her with something, but also speaking on a headset. Now you add in a person who has imaginary friends, and suddenly she doesn't seem like such an odd duck. This other person who is rendering professional healthcare service is also just talking to the air. For my mom, I think that she was really a standout star for me in coping with all these discordant elements in her world, that she had no bandwidth to put into context anymore. What she did not need from me, an explanation of what a headset was, of what remote, you know, it didn't function in her world, and she was never going to have one. So, but the level of confusion it introduced on top of her mental confusion, for that, I suddenly had a different appreciation and a lot more compassion. You know, in contrast, my mother refused to come live near me or with me. Mm. And she preferred to stay where she was in the community that they had relocated to and made their home for so many years, she and my dad. Plus, my sister lived there. So she felt, you know, I can only be near one daughter and I'm already here, I'm gonna stay. But in the process, I lost the joy of having her around on a regular basis. It was great that we could communicate every week, but the context was lost, as this example of the difference in a style of phone and how that could be confusing. If she had been willing to relocate again, and that's a very hard thing for older people to do in general, and especially when their cognitive functioning is already impaired, to make that adjustment can be physically harmful to their continued health. But in any case, if I had had her presence, I think I would have been able to benefit even more from her later life wisdom and perspective, because she could still give me advice over the phone, and she really enjoyed doing that. And it was always with her particular perspective, and more than what she was telling me as advice, I felt like I was learning something about the person my mother was that I never could appreciate as a child. So being an adult at a distance from her, I lost that ability to understand who she could be as a friend, who she could be as a companion, and how our relationship could have logically progressed from a younger stage when I didn't appreciate the advice she had to give me, but at a different place in my life, I could overlook some of the comments that she might make and connect with her in a way that was built around aspects of life that we could share. There were a couple of times when she was able to travel that she did come and visit for a length of time. And then I was able to share with her my community. We could do things together that I might choose to do with a friend, like get our nails done or have lunch together or visit other people within my circle. And I got a glimpse of how she might be part of my world if we had that option. So not only could I then have been part of hers, but she could have been part of mine. And together we would have created a whole different kind of relationship that I never had access to because we were so far apart. But that is the joy of sharing your home with an elder person, of allowing them to have continual contact with subsequent generations. They don't lose that present day context in the same way. So maybe that confusion over the cell phone would not have been so foreign, because she would have been in and out of homes that use those tools. As one example, she would not only have been able to appreciate her grandchild on a couple of times a year basis in person, she might have been able to come to school activities and understand more about the community that he operated in, meet some of his friends even. That would have been a whole kind of enrichment for everyone involved that I do regret we never had that opportunity to share. While nobody would say that a pandemic is a good thing, what I find interesting about it is the possibilities for family structures. Because rather than separate, a lot of families chose to stay separate. A lot of families chose to reunite in some sort of way so that they made their bubble include some form of extended family. And it focuses attention on the fact that we make choices in today's society about how independent we want to be, and that is often in opposition to how integrated we can be and function successfully. I mean, we always hear about dysfunctional families. We almost never hear about well-functioning families. And if you're trying to make a decision about incorporating your life with a person from a different generation, then the considerations are not that different from addressing how your family operates to solve a problem. So it's an adjustment, but it's not necessarily without rewards. We have to be able to focus on solving problems, but also appreciating the positive aspects and even the potential benefits for everybody involved. Obviously, people don't make this choice if they're very averse to it. And that's okay, because that probably would not work out very well. And, you know, the next best solution has to be chosen. Obviously, I mean, my mom and I could have moved into the middle of the country to bridge the distance, but neither of us were going to do that, because I had a family that had connections and we were rooted in one place, and she had rooted herself in another place, and it was too late to transplant. So, you know, we didn't have that choice, but other families can make that choice and bridge that gap because the circumstances make it possible. And it's not an easy thing to deal with on a day-to-day basis for all the parties involved, but somewhere along the line, you make, I think personally, from the very first moment that you decide, I need to nurture this connection, then you've made the decision to care for that other person in a way that is nurturing and supportive both for you and for them. And once you've made that decision, that first decision leads to the next one, and you can approach the situation of and taking care of one another in a positive frame.